The following is an at-will presentation.
Welcome to Infinite Positivities. I'm Jenna Ushkowitz. This is a show where I take topics from my book, Choosing Glee, and speak with inspirational people about how to live a positive life. Chapter 17, Embracing Success. I was recently cast in the Broadway musical Waitress. I'm having an amazing time, and I'm so thrilled to be back on the stage. Because I'm so immersed in the Broadway world right now, my next few interviews are going to be with some famous Broadway babies. Today, my guest is 9-time Broadway star, Tony Award winner, and singer-songwriter Alice Ripley. With so many accolades under her belt, Alice knows a thing or two about staying grounded, focused, and motivated in the face of professional success. It can be hard to know what kind of attitude we should have towards our own accomplishments. Sometimes success can psych us out and can actually keep us from striving to be better. So, before we get to Alice, we're going to listen to success analyst Richard St. John's TED Talk, Success is a Continuous Journey.
Why do so many people reach success and then fail? Well, one of the big reasons is we think success is a one-way street. So we do everything that leads up to success, but then we get there, we figure we made it, we sit back in our comfort zone, and we actually stop doing everything that made us successful. And it doesn't take long to go downhill. And I can tell you this happens because it happened to me. Reaching success, I worked hard, I pushed myself, but then I stopped because I figured, oh, you know, I've made it. I can just sit back and relax. I shouldn't have to work at ideas. They should just come like magic. And the only thing that came was creative block. I couldn't come up with any ideas. Soon a black cloud formed over my head, and here I was, outwardly very successful, but inwardly very depressed. So I went back to doing the projects I loved. I had fun again, I worked harder, and to cut a long story short, did all the things that took me back up to success, but it wasn't a quick trip. It took 7 years. I learned that success isn't a one-way street. It's a continuous journey, because that's not only how we achieve success, it's how we sustain it.
Alice Ripley is fresh off her most recent gig called Unattached with fellow Broadway vet Emily Skinner. I recently got a chance to sit down with her in the At Will Studios to chat about her outlook on life and her incredible career.
I feel like I want to interview you because you're famous.
No, you are. Are you
Jenna,
kidding? Let's talk about Unattached. How is Unattached?
I know, I brought you records.
Yay! No, thank you.
So here, you
oh
know
my
what?
Goodness.
If there's an extra, then you can... It's good as like a window. You can put keep your window up in your windowsill, like what they do with the 2x4, but you could use this.
Okay, well, then every morning when I walk to my bathroom, I get to see Emily Skinner and Alice Ripley's
faces. We look like we're kind of pissed off on the album. I don't know. I like tits and teeth, but I guess, you know, sometimes you have to go for it. And then I looked back at all the albums that I've made, and I'm by myself with my band, and they're all serious face, like no teeth.
You have teeth
we're
right
like
now. You're smiling right
you,
now.
Like we're daring you to come to the show.
Get out of here. Is it done? Are you done with it?
Yeah, we finished it. July 25th was our last show, but we'll probably go back.
And tell me about it. How did this come about, and why did you do it?
It's really by popular demand, I think. We wanted to sing. We always want to find an excuse to sing together.
Sure.
But people kept asking us to do it. And then we got this great offer from Jennifer Ashley Tepper at Feinstein's 54 Below for 8 shows, which is a lot.
That is a lot for 54.
The first weekend we did 5. February we did 5 shows. Okay. We just finished our return.
Oh.
It's a return. and we recorded that weekend in February because we've got balls, basically.
That's
and
awesome.
Because it's a live album, it can be imperfect and you can still enjoy it or whatever.
Well, that's the joy of Broadway.
Yeah, I
you
mean,
you know, or live
is,
theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
But we made 2 studio albums, too.
Okay.
In the 90s.
I mean, you guys, okay, so for the listeners who don't know, you two did Sideshow together and you were co-nominated for Tonys.
Yeah, it was the first time that it ever happened for a musical.
Wow. And what did you think when that happened?
I was really happy and grateful, and I felt like, that's right, there is a God, or whatever, or there, you know, dreams do come true, let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like. Wow.
Right.
The cynic in you goes away for a few years after that.
Was Sideshow like your sort of claim to fame, if you will?
Well, it's funny because I had been around for about 6 years on Broadway, and I was playing principals and like... filling in as an understudy and doing encores and readings and off-Broadway stuff. And you know, like a musical that would start off Broadway and then go to a workshop. I was always doing that while I was doing a Broadway show.
Right.
But Sideshow is the show that kind of, it put me in a different orbit, meaning people started to see me for plays mm-hmm. and film and television, and that had never happened before. It was like the fact that I was an actress
yeah.
became apparent.
They
I
like
guess,
take
to
you
when I was really
seriously.
Glad about that. Well, give maybe yeah,
or
maybe
in
yeah.
a different way.
See you as more than just a singer,
right?
Who looks good in a wig that somebody spent all day working on, singing a beautiful song that was written for you. You know,
right?
With the microphone hidden on your head. Do you wear a mic on your head?
We do. Sarah wanted the studio mics, so we wear the side ones like Rent.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now.
Yeah. I mean, the sound is really great that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, you kind of just kind of give into it. If
sure.
it's a rock score, and it's enhanced now maybe because yeah. people like Janet Jackson and Madonna made it cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Like Express Yourself when she wore it
mm-hmm.
in the
You've
music.
Got to make him express himself. Hey, 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 hey.
Okay, what happened after Sideshow, after the nomination, after that? What happened to your career?
Oh,
where'd you
well,
go?
I kept working on Broadway. Emily and I got cast in a Broadway play together.
No
well,
way.
It was a play with music, I think is what they called it.
Which one?
But it was a musical in the category of musicals for the Tonys.
Okay.
We got a couple of nominations. It's called James Joyce's The Dead.
Okay.
We didn't make a cast album, which is too bad
Why?
Because the score was so beautiful.
That's so weird.
Based on the short story by James Joyce, and then John Huston made a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think a couple other people made movies about the dead. The classic story. I know, right?
It's
makes
creepy.
You want to shout and dance.
Dark.
Wear your polka dot dress.
That's right. Swing around.
But Emily and I were both in it, so that was kind of fun.
Okay.
And also Stephen Spinella was in it, and he got a Tony nom.
I love Stephen Spinella.
Yeah.
He did
and
Spring Awakening with us.
Christopher Walken was the star. Oh, my gosh, I love Stephen Spinella. I know, I love him too. And Christopher Walken
Wait.
Was like, the first day of rehearsal, they have a dialect coach in, and he's talking to us about the turn of the century, last century Dublin. Very specific.
Christopher Walken, you know.
Very specific sound.
Yeah.
You know, it's different from the other side of town. Kind
and different
of
from Christopher Walken's. Very specific camera.
They were taking it very seriously. And it was a really good piece. I loved it. Mm-hmm. But the first day of rehearsal of The Dead, Christopher Walken goes into rehearsal. And Stephen Gabbis, are the you know, the best dialect coach in town, comes in and starts talking about, here's how you do a Dublin, turn of the last century, Irish accent.
Mm-hmm.
The basics. We all were writing notes. He was going to send us, you know, whatever. Look, give us little tape recordings. And so on our break, then, we go on a break, and we're all in the break room eating muffins and drinking coffee, and Christopher Walken's standing in the doorway, and he's like, they're not serious, are they? It's not like, I mean, they don't really expect me to do that, do they? I mean, everybody knows I'm not Irish. It's not like I'm fooling anybody. And we're all looking at him. We're like, everybody stops mid-chew, and they just look at him in the doorway, and they go, wait a minute, is he serious? He can't be serious. It's only the first day of rehearsal. Well,
he
you know,
was.
He didn't do an accent, and the rest of us were doing one.
And he got in Tony now?
He was like, Greta, Greta, Greta. I think they kind of, I don't know if that happened.
I mean,
I
you know what? He stuck
so
to
much.
His guns.
He's probably hanging upside down in a doorway right now with his arms crossed over his chest.
Is he a bat?
Kind of.
Really?
I don't know. I love him, though. He's like,
he's amazing.
He told me that he would, you know, if I ever wanted to off somebody. God, man, these days I should never say something like
this. This is so dark.
Podcast.
We are so dark. But you got to
like
work with Christopher Walken, you know?
Oh, it's man.
One
yeah,
in
he
a bucket
was a
list.
Trip. He was a
bucket.
Trip. And then I did the Rocky Horror Show.
That's fun.
That was fun.
Who did you play in that?
Janet.
Ugh, so fun.
In the deepest darkness of the darkest night, burning bright, there's a guiding star. I'd cast you.
As...
Yes. I guess you could play any of the
Magenta.
Ladies, but you'd be a good Janet, too.
Janet.
You'd be a
thank
surprise
you.
As a Janet.
It would, thank you.
You're so perky.
I am perky.
And so
sometimes.
Beautiful.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you.
And then you'd have to be in your
keep
underwear.
I would. It's.
I was
well,
running 6 miles a day.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I was down to a size where I don't land naturally. Because I thought, I'm in Circle in the Square, there's somebody like right there,
yeah,
my
yeah.
butt
it's
is in his
intimate
face,
theater.
It better be something worth looking at.
Well, you work hard. You're a hard worker. That's why you are where you are right now. That's why you're who you are.
And I'm on infinite positivities. That's where I am right now.
Let's talk about Next to Normal and your Tony win. Yay. Next to Normal was amazing. I got to see it. I loved it. It won the Pulitzer Prize, and then you won the Tony Award. And I just watched your acceptance speech. It was really beautiful.
You know, people make fun of me because I was kind of projecting like I was Ted Cruz or something. At the time, he didn't even exist.
It's kind of amazing. I loved it.
Seriously. But you know what was happening? Sir Elton John and his cohorts were heckling people that were going up to accept awards. I couldn't hear what they were saying because there was no monitor in the front of the house. Now we're getting serious again. But I got pissed, honestly.
Sure.
That's what was happening.
And so you projected.
I was like,
you know what? Good for you.
Thank you. I want to, you know, because Kristen Chenoweth had just been standing up there talking, and I couldn't hear what she was saying.
Oh, no.
And that's a crime.
And you won a Tony. Yeah, that is a crime.
Oh, it was so much fun, and I was just glad I didn't trip up the stairs. But then when Jennifer Lawrence had her, like, she's amazing. She made it okay to, like, lose your costume, lose 100%. Your dress, and trip or whatever. And
but that was after adorable. Your Tony, huh?
Yes. I still had the pressure on me at that moment, but I didn't. So I was grateful for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of used it as a podium a little bit just to, I felt like I wanted to thank the audience.
That's
what the Tony feels like to me. It feels like a promise from the audience that they'll always be there for me.
That's really nice.
I mean, what else would it be?
It's true.
But I was going at it for so long, so many years, that also it was kind of like, look at her, give her something. She's been working her ass off for like how many years now? Come on.
You did it. 9 Broadway shows.
I hope that they make a movie or live or, you know, a television broadcast of Next to Normal. I'd love to be in it.
You know, there was a director that was actually asking me about that. He really wanted to. He was like, what do you think about Next to Normal? Did you see it?
And it needs to be, yes. You know, no matter who the cast is, honestly. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
It needs to be seen by everybody in a form where they can just put it on in the middle of the night and watch it, because it's like calling your best friend.
I mean, I play the album on, like, I'll just be walking down the street and I'm like, yes. Normal, and I'll just run through it. It's so wonderful. It's so great. You should listen
Thank
to
you.
It. Yeah. After winning a Tony, after doing so many Broadway shows, how do you stay hungry, ambitious? How do you continue to drive on the way you do?
Well, I mean, people like the ladies in this room right now, the three of you ladies that are sitting here, you have real positive energies, and I surround myself with those people as often as I can. Or let's say I allow the universe to just put those people around me.
Sure.
I think that's really important. And you know, of course, I could talk for however long as you want me to about the logistics of this question, but really it's about being impeccable with your word and being pristine with your thought and having a deep desire. You know what I mean? When you're sitting in the audience, like the little girls who sit in the audience and watch Keala Settle do her solo.
Right.
The girls who are, you know, I don't know, don't look like everybody else.
Right.
Maybe. They get that little tingle right here behind your sternum. It's like a little flame that catches fire, and you're waiting. The gas is going tick, 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 and you're waiting for the flame to go foom. And if you're Audra McDonald, which she's one of my heroes because she makes it look flawless.
Sure.
Or if you're Brian Stokes Mitchell, and he's another hero, or his wife Allison, they're both so, they have these beautiful eyes, and they draw you in, okay? So you don't get that sparkly charisma or that flawless, controlled relaxation that Audra has without a deep, burning desire. And you have to be positive. You really do. Because it's more than just a post-it on your mirror, isn't it, Jenna?
Absolutely.
Although, you know, if that's where you have to start, or those books by Flavia or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the place to start.
Or Gary Larson. Yeah. Something that makes you laugh or feel light. You have to be pristine with your thought, because the thing about the creative arts is there's no blueprint. It's not like you're joining the military and you know in 20 years if you don't, you know, get in trouble, you're going to be making this much money and you're going to be this rank.
Right.
It'd be kind of, part of me wishes it was like that or were like that, but not really, because then there'd be certain things you wouldn't be able to do. You would have to do it this way. And because we're creative, we can do anything, right?
Yeah.
People are depending on us to come up with something brand new.
Yeah, I think in this business, you have to stay positive. You have to stay hopeful. You have to stay driven and also ambitious in a way to for the future of what we do and why we do it. You know, you sit in the audience and you watch these kids with their eyes lit up because it's their first Broadway show, and this is, you know, you're lighting the fire in them. That's what makes me go, this is why I do this. This is because the people up there before me were the ones who lit the flame for me. Mm-hmm. So
I totally agree. When I work where I teach a class of students, it's better than any Broadway opening, and that's a pretty awesome experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it's even better because the smallest thing from me is huge to a student, to a, you know, a 12-year-old that's trying to get into this and figure out how do I do it my way, and what can I find in myself and then fan that flame.
Right.
Because they're 10 and they think they're supposed to be perfect and they think they're supposed to have it all done right now. So I kind of tell them, you guys,
calm down.
Yeah. And that, you know, to see them go, oh, and get it and relax, that's the thing I think that makes me feel so good about doing that.
Well, I feel like even now, you know, I'm in my 30s and I see people whose careers haven't really. I mean, I like instant gratification. I am always sort of in a rush, and I always have to remind myself to slow down. And I feel like I have to look ahead to the people whose careers haven't blossomed till 35, 40, and are still doing beautifully and happy and fulfilled. And I'm not sure, did you ever have that in your career, like in your timeline?
Yeah. No, this is great. And I guess it must have been like 2004 or something. I did a play at the Arena called Shakespeare in Hollywood. And I was on stage with Robert Prosky, who is, I mean, I guess there might be some people who are like, who's that? But if you ever saw his face, you'd know who he is.
Right.
You know you'd seen him because he's an actor that just was everywhere.
Everything.
When I met him, I was in my 30s and he was in his 80s. He was in his early, mid 80s. And he, like when I worked with George Hearn in Sunset Boulevard, same thing. I looked at these people and they were significantly older than me, you know, 20, 30 years older. And they were happy.
Mm-hmm.
They loved life. They loved people. Like, they were everybody's favorite in the cast.
Right.
They were amazing on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, did something that nobody else ever could
do, yeah,
and made you feel respected and safe, and like he was like a grandpa, but not really the colleague, you know. So I really admired him, and I asked him, "How do you keep that going? Like, well, how do you keep that going after life hits you? You know, when life hits you in the back of the head with a 2x4, when your parents die, or like you have some kind of tragedy, or you lose everything, or whatever." You know, whatever it is, the towers fall.
Life.
You know, he smiled. He was like, you know, the thing is, and this is great. I loved it because it reinforced what I kind of believed already. It's an arc. Like, we jump in when, hopefully at the beginning. And, like, I'm, like, right here. You're, like, right here. Mm-hmm. But we go all the way.
Right.
And I tell the students that. I go, you guys, you're only doing yourself a disservice more than anything if you don't go the whole way. Mm-hmm. And roughly, that's what Robert Prosky said. He was like, you know, just make sure that you always keep at it, that you're in this until it's over.
Right.
Because the thing that happens is when you do it long enough, at some point, he said that he was receiving all these wonderful accolades and awards and, like, honoraries, whatevers, from people who were so grateful that he had been there all those years. Not specifically about one thing that he did or didn't do, but, like, that he had always been
there. The honor, right.
Yes, that he was a working actor. Basically, he was saying, just don't ever stop being a working actor. I think that's what he meant. Because if you stay around long enough by the end, if you hadn't felt like you'd had your due, you will then.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Did you ever feel like... after winning a Tony, after being in all of these shows, being a Broadway vet, the expectation, do you ever feel like the pressure of the expectation of living up to you?
Only
you
know for myself.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like I have to live up to, I mean, I want everybody to be blown away. I want to amaze people and have them think I'm doing magic and have them be like, break down and cry.
How the hell did you do that?
I don't know why. It was just because something I sang, you know? I think I owe everything to the audience. And the older I get, the more I do this, it's really hitting home that without the audience, there's nobody in the audience.
Right.
And sometimes I'm in the audience.
Right.
But when I'm on stage, I need somebody out there who really doesn't secretly want to be on stage, because I think that must be a critic.
Sure.
But I mean, like what we were talking about, the little girls who are out there watching you in Waitress.
Yeah.
And going, she doesn't look like everybody else.
Right. That she looks like
in
me.
In these ways. She looks like me. Yes. Right. That's what I mean. She looks like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that can't be underestimated.
It cannot.
The effect that that has. But I think making sure that you stay in it for until the bell rings and you fall over dead. Like, I think that's really important to, like what David Bowie did at the end of his life when he created that movie about his death and then he died.
That's crazy.
And then it came out after he died. That was the coolest thing ever.
That's an artist right there.
I know.
Yeah.
He made a piece of art about his death. So personal. I don't know if I could do that.
I know. What about your band? When did you start your band?
I think it was 2000. I made a record, Everything's Fine. And that was my first album of all my own songs that I'd written.
Okay.
And then I released two more CDs of original material with my band, Ripley, where we just decided to produce it ourselves.
Awesome.
And make up our own record.
Do you still
label.
Play with them? Or is it still intact?
Honestly, the band is me right now, so you want to be in my band?
Again, casting me in everything. I love it. I don't play anything, but yeah, sure.
We need cage dancers.
I can do that. I can do that. How did you handle success when it came your way, came a knocking on your door?
I think that it's kind of scary and it's kind of lonely if you let it become that way. Because it shows you who your real friends are, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of easy for you to see that.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different definition of what success is.
Right.
But I think that, for me, you have to have some kind of discipline that's positive-based, that has physical exercise attached to it. It's about what you drink and what you eat and how you do or don't pollute your body and how you recover from that.
Right.
And the fact that we are bound by two things, at least, besides death and taxes. We're bound by gravity and time. I think, in general, it's good to say yes. In general, to say yes. Because when you say yes, you're saying no to something else. So if you want to say no to something...
Say yes to something else.
Focus on that.
I love that.
Because however you focus is going to, you're just going to attract more of it because that's the law of attraction. We all know that's fact.
What do you do for yourself? What do you do for you time?
Oh, well, I am really devoted to self-growth
and
personal awareness and improvement. Okay. Constant and never-ending improvement has always been one of my mottos. I stole that from Tony Robbins. But it's been there for decades. And also, recently, I've been turned on to the emotional guidance scale. You can Google it and see it.
Okay.
You can find out where it comes from, but that's not as important as just knowing that it exists. And especially when you're a creative artist who does physical art, like what we do, you have to be able to know how to deal with your emotions. And you have to acknowledge them so you stay healthy.
Right.
But you have to know how to say, that's enough.
Right.
And then you go... what's good and light around me right now.
Right.
Not wishful thinking, which is, to me, that's the post-it. And believe me, I read Louise Hay's books. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. But it's more than that. It's deeper than just a positive affirmation. Although the positive affirmation,
it's
if it's
place
part
to
of
start.
It, that's great.
Right.
And it
it's
is a
part
great
of the
place
practice.
To start.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the deeper you go into self-awareness. So I think that's really important for us. So the emotional guidance scale, everybody who's listening and interested, just Google it, come right up, and then take a screenshot so you have it to look at. There's only 22 of them. Somebody told me one time there's 64,000 feelings or emotions. I mean, jeez, that's
what?
A lot of responsibility. It's like, whoa, a lot of laundry to fold.
Yeah.
But if you just look at 22, it's funny because passion is right next to joy, which is number one. So... the darker emotions are down at the bottom of the scale. So if I feel angry or jealous or insecure or resentful or whatever, if I can inch my way back feeling-wise to feeling bored or hopeful, which sometimes seems like a huge feat. If you're really angry, to try to be hopeful. If you're angry and hurt.
Yeah.
But you have to really want to feel better. And then you can just jump to passion because, I mean, it's that passion of just claiming...
it's like owning.
Claiming it, yeah.
Yeah.
You just own it.
Yeah.
And it has to come from a positive place, right?
Yeah, I
it
mean,
has to, because there's always goodness and love all around you. I think
you
there
just
is.
You have to find it.
Yeah, so you just focus on that.
Thank you for sharing all your wonderful thoughts with us and how wonderfully positive you are and how that's shown through your career. And we'll continue to do so.
Thanks for having me, Jenna. I love that your show is called Infinite Positivities, Jenna, because I do think it's that, like, this is a show for every aspiring artist.
Thank you.
Really like a sun.
You're
so
sweet.
Much light around you.
Thanks, Alice.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you, Alice.
This is a blast.
Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of Infinite Positivities. Be sure to check out Alice Ripley and Emily Skinner's live recording of Unattached at 54 Below from Broadway Records. Accomplished something great recently and want to share the news? Tag me on Twitter or Instagram with your story. I love to hear what you guys are up to. And until next time, remember, stay positive and embrace your success.